Hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Client Stories and Lunch with Amy. So my next case is one of mine, and we got it about 2 years ago.
So that's Amy with DNA Angels, which is a nonprofit search angel organization that helps people find their birth parents for free. So she does these little TikToks and reels on Instagram where she kind of just talks about cases they've had, and I'm fascinated with it. So I'm having her on today as my guest. This is Missing Pieces, NPE Life, and I'm your host, Don Anderson. And you know what? This is season 4, episode 1. You know, Lily once told me, like, Don, you really know what you're doing with these season 1, episode 2. Like, I had no idea what I'm doing. She didn't know that. But I am just making this shit up as I go along. Although I do have an Emmy. I don't know if you guys know that. You're talking with Emmy-winning producer Don Anderson. It's not a primetime Emmy. I won an Emmy for a Shark Week commercial called Snuffy the Seal. Google it. It is the funniest 30 seconds you'll ever see. And it won in its category. So in those type of Emmys, the spot wins, right? It's not like I won as a producer. It's like the spot won and everybody that... I think they allow like 8 people that were involved in the project to get one. And you don't have to refer to me as Emmy award-winning producer, Don Anderson. I mean, you can, but you don't have to. Actually, there's no logic whatsoever with the way I do my seasons. After the first season, I stopped at 13 episodes. And so I just do that every time I get to 13 episodes, I just start a new season. You know, the end of the year is coming up soon. And I just wanted to say that DNA Angels is a nonprofit and you can donate to them and get a tax break. So keep them in mind when it comes time to donating at the end of the year. DNAangels.org. There's only one A. If you want to get in touch with me, you can follow me on Instagram, NPE_life_podcast. Check it out. If you want to email me, you can do so at donnpe@icloud. And I'll get back to you right away. And please rate the show. And if you could, leave a review. Even if it's only 4.5 stars. I'm just kidding. But I love hearing from you and I love reading the reviews. So without any further ado, this is Amy. So today I'm talking with Amy from DNA Angels. And I don't even know your last name, Amy.
It's Amy Rose Haynes.
Well, first of all, tell me in your own words what DNA Angels is.
So DNA Angels, we are a nonprofit organization that is dedicated to identifying birth parents using autosomal DNA tests like Ancestry DNA. So we use those services at no cost to our clients because you should not be charged to know who your biological parent is. That's your birthright. You should know where you come from, and it shouldn't be a financial hardship to know those biological truths.
And I just want to say that I love that you guys do what you do, and I think it's great. And I also have to say, you may not know that. I don't even know if you listen to this podcast, Amy, but you can lie and say you do, and it's your favorite. But the as a rule, I don't have experts on, right? I don't have, like other podcasts do, and that's what I love about the NPE podcast kind of world is that we kind of all do slightly different things, and my thing is not that, but I'm making an exception to that. Not that you're an expert, but you kind of are. And you're a spokesperson for a company kind of, but you know, but, and I usually don't do that. But a couple of things. One is I believe in your guys' mission, and two, your TikToks. So Amy mm-hmm. does these TikToks that are whimsical, fascinating, and just explaining different cases that she's worked on. And I'm hooked. Like I've never started watching one where I don't finish it and want more. And for those of you that don't do TikTok, I'm on Instagram and that's where I see her because the DNA Angels, I think it is, their Instagram has started reposting them as reels on Instagram.
Yep.
Speaking generally, anytime you look for DNA Angels, the organization, there aren't two A's. So it's DNA, then NGELS. So to find them on Instagram, it's DNA Angels, like I just told you, org. DNA Angels, org. And remember, 1A. To find them on TikTok, it's just DNA Angels with one A. So how Amy got involved with DNA Angels is kind of a cool story. Her daughter had a disease and the doctors couldn't diagnose it correctly. So she got onto 23andMe and started just digging deep, I mean crazy deep, into like genetic markers, looking at them herself and stuff. And she tested everybody in her family, like I think it was like 20-something tests. So then when she was done, she figured out what disease it was. And when she was done, she had all this information.
I knew that I had all of this valuable information on everybody in the family line, having access to their DNA profile and all of their matches and how they're matching each other and other people. I was like, there's got to be something else I can use this for. I can use this, I think, to find my great-grandfather's birth parents. So my great-grandfather, he was born in Washington State. He was actually born in a home for unwed mothers that were giving their babies up for adoption. He was in one of those homes in Seattle, Washington when he was born and placed for adoption.
Because she had all this information on everybody in her family, she was able to solve this mystery that no one knew.
Kept on going, and I was able to find his mother first. And then it took me a couple of years to land on his father because his father was actually born in England.
So she solved that mystery. And then this guy on Facebook reached out to her and wanted her to help him find his bio father.
I was working on a case that actually was one of DNA Angels' cases. And so Robert, we ended up becoming friends. He was like, hey, I need some help. We can't figure this out. I have somebody helping. And I knew that Search Angels did not like other people. Like, don't do what I did, you guys. Don't do this. But I knew that he had DNA Angels working on the case. I had never heard of DNA Angels at this point in time. Like, I had no clue who they were.
And when was this?
But this was early, I think, probably December of 2019. December of 2019, I think, is November, December, right around that time frame. And he was on Facebook saying, I need some help. These Search Angels, they're trying to figure this out, and they can't figure it out because it goes back to Panama in Colombia, and which is understandable. It's hard. I didn't know how hard it was until I actually took the case. But I was like, hey, I'm willing to help you. I figured out who my great-grandfather is, but no guarantees, but I'll see if I can figure anything out. And oh my goodness, that case was so hard. I was pulling my hair out, and so many curse words were flying out of my mouth at like 2 and 3 in the morning because the endogamy was insane. We had there was a uncle who married a niece, and that was actually our highest match of, I think, 72 centimorgans. It was just really, really small because you can't count that because you have an uncle and a niece who married each other. So that number is obviously inflated.
Right. So endogamy, let's just explain what that is real quick for people that don't know.
A centimorgan, in a sense, the best way to explain it is a unit of measurement of DNA, how much DNA you share with somebody. The larger the amount of DNA that you're sharing with somebody, the CM, the centimorgan number, is more closely that you're related to that person. So if you take somebody that is like, go ahead.
Oh, I was asking about endogamy, but you can do both. But I can tell you what endogamy is too. See if I have it right. So centimorgans is the number, like if you have 40 centimorgans with somebody, you're not very related to them. If you have 1,800 centimorgans, you're really related to them. And then endogamy, I was trying to help this woman figure out who her dad was.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican, both sides.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is
1,000% endogamy.
Yeah. And so what it is, it's like when there are societies like Ashkenazi Jews also that marry within each other. So island nations are big on it. Because, you know.
Yeah. So
it's not like incest. It's just you marry your fourth cousin or whatever, which.
Exactly. It's definitely not incest. Not a lot of people want to kind of loop that in there with endogamy and incest are two totally different things. And like you said, like the Ashkenazi Jewish, they are marrying within their own community.
Yeah. And so what endogamy does is it skews the numbers. So if you're getting a 40 centimorgans it's on both sides, it could really only mean like 20, right? Like
exactly.
I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
Yep.
But what I'm saying though, before, like, I can't figure out a line because mom's dead. Her brothers never had kids. So I don't know any, I can't figure out the line, which side is which. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I gotcha.
But anyway,
you have no one. You have no one to like, kind of
what,
target is there, test to help you either.
Yeah. What is that? What would that word be for somebody that, okay, I know that this person's on my mom's side. So anybody related to her is on my mom's side. Just a target person? Is that what you call it?
Yeah. That's a target person. So if you know that you want to try and separate these matches and you can't figure out who belongs where, sometimes it is helpful to test somebody on that target line that you're looking for. So if you're wanting somebody on your dad's side, you can target test somebody on that side that you know is on that side. Or if you're looking for somebody on mom's side or eliminate a side, you can target test a known family member on whichever side is wanting to target to eliminate. You can test somebody on that line. So you know, okay, I have this person, Jane Smith, that I know is my mom's niece. I know this person for sure. So I can use that person DNA matches to eliminate everybody else. But in the case of endogamy, that doesn't quite work.
And then warning to the audience out there, that is how I became an NPE. How I found out is I was helping my older sister find out who her biological dad was. And so I said, I'll go on 23andMe and test and we'll know anybody that is related to me is on mom's side.
Exactly.
And then it came back two half-sisters I'd never heard of. So be careful.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, I've helped, you know, so I figured out who my sister's bio father was. I found her three half siblings. I've helped a couple people figure out who their biological father is. Another friend of mine, Heather, who was adopted, she knew who her mom was, but I figured out who her bio father was. And I just have to say, when that puzzle, when the missing piece, name of this podcast, falls into place, to me, and you figure it out, it's like one of the biggest rushes ever. It's like
1,000%. So when you are working so many hours and some of these cases, some of them are pretty quick, but you're still putting a lot of time in them. But some of these cases I've had on my books since 2020. And like, I just solved one a couple of weeks ago, just finding that name, it is the best feeling.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge rush. So we kind of turn into stalkers doing this though, right? When I was helping my sister I grew up with, there was this woman that was a really high match to her. I stalked this woman. She, like first cousin range to my sister. This woman, like she lived in Kentucky, she in Paducah, I think. And like I just, newspaper, I went everywhere, like figured out. So this is how I was sending her messages here and there, like looking for her, sending her text. And because I needed to figure it out because she was such a high match. And it turns out her mom was my sister's half sister. And so, but like I found out she was married, got her husband's name. I found a newspaper article where he was promoted to vice principal at this high school where he used to be a teacher. And I looked up, went to that school's website, like found a couple emails, like so I could figure out the pattern email, if it's last name, dot first name or whatever. And so I emailed this husband at work who had no idea who I was. And that did the trick. Like,
yeah.
And she got back to me. But like that.
We do that.
Yes. Yep. We're like stalkers.
Yeah. We will scour social media, like any type of social media. I will Google their names and their locations. I will look for newspaper articles. I will look for everything. When I try to find family information to give my clients, I'm looking for every bit of anything that I can give to my client to connect, because even though we're given this name on a silver platter and we're showing her how we came to this answer, and we give them this contact information so they can choose if it's right for them to reach out, sometimes they choose not to. They choose that they got their answer. They don't feel like they need to reach out for a multitude of reasons, and that's okay. But I still want to give them anything and everything I can on this person.
So jumping back a couple of things you said earlier, just I'm going to, as an example, but say you figured it out. Okay. It's one of these three brothers, right? Is your biological dad. We don't know unless somebody else tests. Do you ever reach out to those three biological, or do you always leave it up to your client?
Very out of the 500 plus cases that I have worked on, I try not to reach out at all. I could probably count on one hand how many times I've reached out and it's been extreme circumstances only. But my thoughts on this are, I'm giving you this information. And if you want to reach out, this may be the only time that you reach out and speak to that person on the phone. Once somebody makes that call, they could change their number. They could change their...
They could block you nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. They could make their stuff unlisted. They could try, which has happened before, to go to a lawyer and get cease and desist papers drawn up or try to get a restraining order and all of these things. So I want to make it a point to make my clients reach out on their own if they want to reach out. So they get that person on the phone, they can at least hear that person's voice for the first time and maybe the only time. They could at least get attempts to get some of their questions answered. And that's one of the things that I always tell my clients. If you're going to reach out, I want you to sit down and think about what you want to say. Write down a list of questions that you have. Always include that medical information. Ask for updated medical history. Get that information at least, and any other questions you want answered. So when you have that person on the phone, if this is the only time you're going to talk to them before they go all crazy and block you or whatever they're going to decide to do, if it's not a happily ever after here, you at least have these questions. You had the opportunity to ask those questions. Whether or not you get an answer is another story, but at least you had the chance to do that.
Right. Okay. That's so maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. Maybe I'm reaching out. Like, I'll tell you this funny thing that happened once. So, you know, as you, I know that everybody that does what you do hates 23andMe for the purposes of, you know, working, trying to figure out biological family, because it's just the family trees don't exist like they.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't hate it. But at the same time, I wish it would go back to the way it used to be years and years ago where you could fill in a family tree. But then again, it's like, are they going to do it? Most of the time they didn't. The one feature that I love about 23andMe that I wish Ancestry would do.
I could tell you what it is. It's, you can see how related other people are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That is so missing on Ancestry. It drives me crazy.
Yep.
So what we're talking about is on 23andMe, you can, if you go to your list of DNA matches, you can click on one and, you know, and you do common relatives. And not only, so it brings up the common relatives, but it tells you how much you're related to that common relative, but it also tells you how much they're related to that common relative, which is huge.
Yeah.
So like, if sometimes it could be sister, right? To them, like it's her sister, but you wouldn't know that on Ancestry.
Exactly. And it helps us kind of see relationships. So like if one person has some family surnames, and that's the way they list it, you don't get a family tree, but sometimes you might get lucky and they'll list some family surnames. And I can use those family surnames to go and find marriage records for the state that these people are saying they're from. I can sometimes pull from there. But if this person I'm looking at that's got these surnames and you go to shared matches and it says, oh, here's somebody that's her father. I already have her dad's name now all of a sudden that I can help work into those records to prove that this is who I'm looking for is on Ancestry with these records. It's the same people, the same family.
Right. Yeah. And it's, so it's invaluable for me. But you know, and then one thing I know, this is like, I'm like, okay, I'll talk to her for 10 minutes and then I'll go to her TikToks, but I could talk to you all day about this kind of stuff because I'm so interested. Like, if I could, like, my wife was like, God, can you do something that makes money? Because helping people and doing your podcast isn't making any money. But I just want to say, so I just looked it up while we were talking. So this woman I'm currently working with, trying to figure out who her dad is, the first time we texted was August 26th of this year, right? So it's what? I don't know how many months I could count. It's been a long...
About two-ish months, 2.5 months.
Seems longer. But that's how long I've been working on this. And I, you know, like, sometimes I'll spend just 3 hours, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I filled out one side of her tree because I must have 120 people on there and I can't figure out who her dad is. So it's frustrating. But I'm just saying, people that do what we do, like, put a lot of work into it. And the DNA Angels, a lot of work for free. And
we're all unpaid volunteers. We do this in our own free time. Some of us have full-time jobs. Some of us are stay-at-home moms. Some of us are retired. But we all do this in our free time, in our spare time. And we're all volunteers, all of us. We're up getting close to about 100 volunteers now. And it's all volunteer work, unpaid. And you're right, countless hours. It's nothing for one of our volunteers to be stuck in a case and really working this line and getting really close, feel like they're getting really close to the answer to their actual spot. the sweet spot in the tree, and they'll be looking at the clock and, oh my gosh, it's been 7 hours and it's 4 a.m. and I need to go to sleep. That's not uncommon with DNA angels working at caves.
I started doing it now because I fly Delta all the time and they have free Wi-Fi on their flights. Mm-hmm. And while I'm on flights now, that's what I do. I work on trees, people's trees, because it makes the time go by. Because it's a rabbit hole and time has no meaning.
Exactly.
Like, feels like 5 minutes and, 3 hours later, I'm like, oh, shit. And then what was the other thing? We never finished I'm sure it was me, went off on a tangent, and we never finished the story about how you got to work with DNA angels. So you were working on a case and they were working on the same case, but they didn't know you were working on it, right?
No, because that's big. That's like, don't do that. Don't ever do that. That's bad. But he just was on a Facebook page, Robert's his name, and he's looking for his mom's birth father. And they didn't know anything. Like, I believe she was Italian, and that's the only thing that they knew. And they ended up seeing, well, we have all of this DNA that's coming from, like, Colombia and Panama and Spain. We don't know where this is coming from. It has to be her biological father. And they were right. It was. And he was on Facebook one day. It was in the middle of the night, and I was up with my kid because I just want to make sure she was still good and still happy. She was in a mast cell flare that night. And he was like, I need help. These people are working the case, but I need some help. I need somebody else to look at this. And I was like messaging him. I was like, well, I'm not an expert, but I have some free time. I'm usually up in the middle of the night. I will see what I can come up with. And maybe you can point them if I find anything, but no guarantees because I'm still new at this. He was like, absolutely. Great. And I swear to God, I felt like I talked to him more than my family some of the times, because again, I was up till 4, 5, 6 in the morning, but I kept mapping things together and going through, and I thought I had a good spot. I think this is where the birth father should be at. I was like, I think he's under here. I think one of these kids might be him, but I'm not 100% sure. But let them know, let the DNA angels know this is what I'm thinking and tell them why. And the person that was working the case, she was like, oh my God, she's a genius. Like, how did she figure that out? And so he was like, oh, it's just one of my friends. And we weren't friends when he found me. We just were strangers. We became friends afterwards. And so he was trying to relay from me to her and from her to me. And he was like, all right, this is ridiculous. And so they ended up putting me in his actual DNA angels research room so I could speak to the search angel. She's like, how did you do this? And I explained, I was like, this, and I sent pictures of the tree, how I did it all. And which was funny, I was mapping pictures exactly how they were mapping things in a tree also, but I was using different images, but I was doing the exact same process that they were doing. When I was explaining to the DNA angel that, hey, this is how I came with all this, she's like, you want a job? And I thought she was kidding. I was like, oh, ha, 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 whatever. And then she asked me again, like 2 or 3 weeks later. I was like, no, you're just kidding. Whatever. I just kind of brushed it off and ignored it. Didn't even acknowledge it. And then she came back again a couple weeks later and asked again. And I was like, okay, you came back to me 3 times. You're serious with this. And then the founder, Laura Olmsted, she was like excited for me to come and was super, I like read through the chat, through the history that they were talking about me, and they were excited to have me on. I was like, okay, well, this might be a good fit. And I've kind of been there ever since. That was February of 2020.
And now you're like their de facto social media star.
Yeah, I kind of fell into that role by accident.
And I just want to say, because I want to get to playing those, that the reason it's so good, and, so like with Deanna, the one case I'm working on now, like, and I've done it a couple times, we're trying to make an episode out of people, me helping them with their family tree. But it's boring as fuck. It's just boring to hear somebody else talk about it. But in your little TikToks, you do it in such a way. And, in writing, and, there's always less is more, right? I'm a writer. Like, no one pays me to write, but I write. But, like anytime I have to say, say I'm going to read something at a reading and it's, 1,500 word max, but my story is 3,000. I have to cut it from 3,000 to 15. It's always better when it gets cut down to 15. Always, always, always. And I think maybe that's what makes your little TikTok so magical, because you have X amount of time to explain it.
Yep.
And I love the one that I saw today where you're like, I don't do part twos.
Yeah, I try not to. I really try not to do a part two. I want to get in that 3 to 5 minute range and then be done. I don't want to go past that. And so if I have to make a part two, there's a reason why I have to make a part two, but I really try as a genuine rule not to.
But you're like so concise, and it makes it so understandable. And, I admit that I know probably a little more than other people do about this because I'm in it, right? And so hopefully it's, and I'm sure it is, that everybody I've asked about it, love them too. But it's so, you make it interesting, you make it fun, you make it, I don't know, you get into the personality of the people. It's just, it's you do a really good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You make it fun and exciting and I think reachable. I don't know if that's the word.
I think, yes, I think that is the right word because I heard that over when I was in Illinois, I was speaking for the Illinois State Genealogical Conference and a lady drove 45 minutes just to come meet me. Like she heard on my TikTok that I was going to be there. I was going to speak. She paid the registration fee. She went through some of the classes, but she literally only came to come and see me and to talk to me. She had found out she was an NPE. She never even, that never crossed her mind. And so, yeah, she watches my TikToks and she was able to relate and find out that she's not alone in this. Like, and hearing those stories made her connect on a whole new level, knowing that there's others like her.
You know what I got out of that whole story is that you have a stalker, and I'm so like, I'm proud of you that you're to that level. You have your own stalker.
She's awesome.
All right, so without any further ado, I was like, maybe I'll have her explain some, but you, I think that'll take away from the beauty of them, how reach, you know, how understandable they are within their own world, yeah. If that makes
and
sense.
And I don't even know which one you're choosing, so it's going to be a surprise to me for which video you're going to play next. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Client Stories and Lunch with Amy. So my next case is one of mine, and we got it about 2 years ago. He had come to us with a super sad story, and it just broke all of our hearts when we were reading why he was looking for his biological father. So he was adopted by his great aunt when he was 6 weeks old because his mother was unalived by somebody else. So he had no memories of his mom, obviously. He had only those secondhand stories growing up that they would share with him. And that was the only connection he had to his birth mom. So he had nobody to ask who his birth father could be because nobody was there to know. So he did an ancestry DNA test and he did get a DNA surprise because he didn't know he was half Hispanic. So he learned that by taking that DNA test that fueled his need to find his biological father even more. So he came to us. We went through everything. We couldn't get to the birth father line very easily off of the ancestry DNA test. So he did a 23andMe. 23andMe was the one that unlocked everything. So he had a first cousin match who was super kind and receptive to our messages and gave us the family information. So if this was a first cousin match, we know that one of her uncles has to be his biological father. So she gave us some names and we ended up going through looking everybody up. And one of the uncles we couldn't find, we were like, whatever, we have his kid's name. So we'll just end up get our client in contact with those kids and the other family members. He ended up finding out got three half siblings, and sadly, his birth father passed away. He was unalived also in 1993. So our client lost his mom at 6 weeks old. And then when he was about 8 or 9 years old, he lost his biological father and didn't even know. So now he's a grown adult, had no opportunity to meet any of his family, his biological parents, I should say. But he is in contact with his half siblings. He's got three half siblings, two half sisters and a half brother. They have accepted him. They have told him all about their dad, their shared dad, and shared photographs. And they have been able to bond with that. So he's got the memories of his mom from other people and the memory of his dad from other people. And that's his only connection that he has. But he's super grateful to have at least that. Because before, he had no clue who his biological father is. Now he knows what his ethnicity is. He knows where his dad's history is. He knows who his grandparents are and where they came from. Their journey from Mexico into the United States several decades ago. So he's got at least that little bit of connection to the family. But that's it for today, and I'll see you guys later. Bye. Hey, everybody. You guys, I need you guys to grab your chairs for this case. This case goes from a nice, good relationship with her dad to dad getting married to a new woman to this woman saying he isn't even your biological dad. Like, what is going on? Buckle up, you guys. Here we go. Our client had a rough relationship with her dad off and on for years. But by around 2007, they had become super, super close. They were almost like best friends. They were always in contact with each other. They were super, super close. And then he meets a new woman. So timeline, now we're at about 2017. So 10 years later, he meets a new woman, they get married. She, for some reason, doesn't like our client, which is his child, She does not like his child. And so he just does the horrible thing and cuts her out of his life, like cuts his own daughter out of his life. I don't get people. So then our client starts to hear some family rumblings of different things that this step monster, I'm going to call her that, step monster, is saying awful things about her, saying that dad isn't even her dad. And she's like, are you crazy? Dad's my dad. Like, what is wrong with you? And so she agrees to do a DNA test. She says, sure, I'll do a DNA test. He's my dad. You're absolutely out of your mind, insane, if you think he's not my dad. So she agrees to the DNA test, and you know where this is going, guys. She gets that notification on her phone that she has a new message, and it's her DNA results. They're ready. They're in. She sits there and starts thinking about all of those memories of growing up with her dad, and she goes to check those messages, that results, knowing that dad's her dad, until she sees in these big letters that no chance that he is her biological father. There's no chance that they are biologically related, and he is not her father. She is absolutely crushed. Mom is no longer here to ask these hard questions. She passed away 4 years before these results were done. So she made some phone calls. She called some people that knew mom, and they all confirmed that mom did have affairs, and there was this one guy that possibly could be her dad. So all of her suspicions and things that she never even had are now creeping up. Like, what is going on? I have these questions. Like, why did mom do this? How could she do this to my dad? All of these questions are going through her mind, and she doesn't have anyone really to answer these questions. So even though our client was given a name for somebody that could be her biological father, we always want to verify this information because usually it's not correct. He may have admitted to having an affair with mom. He may have admitted to saying that he is her biological father and producing photos of him and her mother together. But the DNA evidence disproved that. There's no possible way he could be the biological father based on her DNA matches. So Laura triangulates a family tree based on those DNA matches, landed on a gentleman that is her biological father, and sent her a photo. And she also went to contact him, and he was one of those awful biological parents who are like, I don't care. What do you want? I don't know what you want from me. Whatever. It just did not want anything to do with anything about this conversation that he had a biological child out there. And I'll never understand this. You created a child. It may not have been what you wanted. It may have been an accident, a one-night stand, whatever the circumstances are. It doesn't matter. This person is biologically half of you. I don't understand why people are so nasty and awful when they get that phone call. A weird coincidence in this case is a volunteer of DNA Angels knew this gentleman personally. What are the odds that somebody in our organization, back then we were still small. We had under, I'd say 30 volunteers, maybe under 20 volunteers at that point in time, but he worked with her. So she called him up, asked some questions, and he confirmed he knew mom, did not love her. It was just an on again, off again affair. And that was all it was. So she even says that she did not get a happy ever after, a happy ending with this case, but she has her truth and she is content knowing the truth now. There's no questions, but that's it for today. I'll see you guys later. Bye. Hey everyone, and welcome back. So our next case is Catherine's case. So she had messaged me, said, hey, I got a really good case. I got a really good one. And I'm like, girl, you've got me two of them already. You got another one? Give them to me. I want all of them. So this case, we're going to call her Linda. Linda came to us as an NPE trying to find her birth father, had very little to no information on him whatsoever. Catherine was able to quickly get that birth father's name. So she gave him all the information, gave him some family information. There was a Facebook post from somebody in the family saying that the biological father was actually living in the care of another family member because he was getting elderly and they didn't want him to fall or something to happen to him. So he was in the care of a family member. At this time, when she had gotten the results, our client Linda was actually in the hospital with her husband because he had a small, minor surgical procedure done. So he was at the hospital. Guess who was admitted on the same floor as Linda's husband? I don't know how they figured it out. I don't know what was going on. Maybe Linda called. I don't know what the details were, how this transpired. Her dad was on the same floor as her husband, you guys. Same floor.
Like, what are the odds? What are the odds? She decided to put her brave pants on and walk down that hallway and was talking to the family member of her biological father. She introduced herself. She says, I think I might be the daughter to this gentleman. The family member sat there and welcomed her. And she's like, hey, nice to meet you. Come on in. Let's go meet him. Come on. Linda did respectfully decline at that point in time. She said he's in the hospital. He took a fall. She didn't want to shock him or give him this news and something happened to him while he was there. So she just figured it wasn't the right time or the right place to go bombard him with, hey, I'm your daughter. Nice to meet you. So she respectfully declined that offer. We have not gotten any other updates from her. If we do, I'll do another TikTok on this because this is such a crazy case. Like, what are the odds, you guys? But that's it for today. I'll see you guys later. Bye. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Client Stories and Lunch with Amy. So my next case is going to be a little crazy. Like, I looked at her matches and I was like, what is going on here? So she contacted me as an NPE. She just didn't know who her dad was. Mom just never came forward with the information. Our client was born in 1979 and she had thought somebody was her dad, and there was evidently a DNA test in 1980 that proved that he wasn't. So she didn't know who else it could be. She had no idea. Mom had no idea. She never gave any other name outside of the one that was DNA tested. So this case is going to originate in Pennsylvania. This case originates from Pennsylvania, and again, the client was born in 1979, and there was a DNA test done in 1980 that was negative. So when I got the lines, I didn't even ask for this gentleman's name because it was irrelevant to me. I'm following the DNA. I'm not following family stories or what happened in the past or whatever. So when I get the DNA, I'm looking at everything, and I am confirming lines, and I land on a name. And I give her this name. She's like, that's the person who tested negative for my biological father in 1980. I was like, I'm not sure what happened in 1980. I know those tests were not super accurate like they were in the 90s. I don't know what happened, but I'm telling you now, you have DNA to every one of his great-grandparent lines, every single one. So it has to be him. I don't see any endogamy issues to make it this more complicated than what you're seeing in front of you. Reach out to him and see if he's willing to do another DNA test and see what happens. Maybe a lab one or an ancestry one or whatever. Whatever one he's willing to do, see if he'll do one. She did. She reached out and he's like, nope, I'm not having none of this. I don't want nothing to do with this. I had this DNA test done in the 80s and it was negative. I don't want you to ever contact me again. You contact me again, I'm contacting a lawyer. So she's just kind of left it alone. And the other little thing that is kind of like a hiccup in this case is not only the DNA test was negative in the 80s, 1980 to be exact. He's also from the Amish community. And so was mom. The birth mom was too. And she had left the community after she had gotten pregnant. She didn't go back to any of that. She still kind of was in contact with the family here and there, but she wasn't a part of that community anymore. And so this gentleman, he is a part of this community. And so I'm guessing that's probably why this is an issue for him and why he doesn't want to revisit this or take another DNA test to confirm it with better technology. So I don't know what else to do here in this situation. There's literally nothing else to do unless maybe an aunt or an uncle or maybe one of his children will decide to test. So right now she's just kind of in limbo. She's got the information and she's stuck with what she's got. She is aware of the gentleman, so she kind of knows the family history. So she at least has some of that information. Not that there's much, but she's got at least something. But that's it for today. Don't forget to hit that follow button and I'll see you guys tomorrow. And do you guys have anything interesting in your family trees? I'd love to hear them. And I'll talk to you guys later. Bye. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Client Stories and Lunch with Amy. So my next case right off the bat is full of what the heck. So she was born in 1963 in the back of her dad's taxi cab on the way to the hospital. Like, I have a story about my kiddo and that almost happened to me in the front seat of my mom's minivan on the way to the hospital, but that's a story for another day. So her client's born in 1963. Her dad had three children from a previous marriage and then got with her mom and they had 10 kids. So her and 9 siblings. So they were just living their life, not a big deal, until she was 13 when her mom passed away. She was very, very sick with cancer and passed away. 2 weeks later, her dad moves in his mistress, you guys, who was in the dispatch for the police department that he worked for, moved her in and said, this is your new mama. Like, what? How traumatic is that? 2 weeks after their mom had passed away. So she had this rage and this hatred for him right off the bat because of that situation. So fast forward. Her sister and the dad are having a fight. She says, "You're not even our real dad," and that's that. And that's when she had that realization, like, what? Like, what's going on here? So they end up doing ancestry DNA tests many, many years later, and she ended up getting everybody to DNA test, and a shocking surprise happened. Not only she wasn't his child, but almost all the siblings weren't his kids. About 7 of the kids had different fathers. So our client and one older sister had the same dad. And then there were 2 other siblings that had the same dad. And then there were 2 other siblings that had the same dad. And then there was 1 sibling that had a different dad too. So we have two siblings that were full siblings, 2 other siblings that were full siblings, 2 other siblings that were full siblings, all with different dads. And then 1 sibling that had a different dad also. And then the rest of them, their dad, who they thought was their dad, was the dad. So super confusing, but that is what it is. And not only that, kept on researching, kept looking at DNA matches, and found a half sister. It was a half sister. So mom had another baby and put it up for adoption, and nobody had a clue. Nobody knew until she popped up in the DNA matches. This child was placed for adoption, and she is their other half sibling. So now we're up to mom's having 11 children. Different father. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fathers now. I think we're up to 5 fathers. No, we're up to 6 fathers. So we had the 2 siblings with a dad, 2 siblings with a dad, 2 siblings with a dad, 1 sibling with another dad, the rest of the siblings with the husband, and now the sister that they found out that was adopted out with a totally different dad. So we're up to 6 dads now. So they keep on going and trying to figure out everything and try to untangle all of this stuff. Intake brought me this case, and I looked at it. I was like, oh my God, this is a mess. Like, I don't even know where to begin with all of this. So one by one, went through, got the DNA matches in the tree, got everything mapped out, and got one set knocked out, got the next set knocked out, got the next set of siblings knocked out, was able to prove the other ones were the husband to the mom, who they all thought was the birth father of all the kids, but only just some of them. Like, it was one by one trying to knock these out. Some of these siblings were pissed. Like, they were mad. They willingly did their DNA. They knew the whole situation, but they were pissed that everything was coming out. Like, the truth was not being hidden and buried anymore. I brought it all to light. I was giving names. I was giving contact information, photos if I could find them. So I'm going to leave it at that. My question for you guys today is, how would you feel if you had this big, huge family and you only found out, like, just a few of them had different fathers? Like, how would you guys feel? My mama, she's got 4 girls, 3 of us with different fathers. So we kind of understand. She didn't have no 10 kids, thank goodness. My goodness, I don't know what I would do. Me and my sister fought enough as it was. But let me know in the comments, and I'll see you guys later. Bye. Hey everybody, I'm going to start this off with a trigger warning. If relationships within close family members is a trigger for you, please scroll on. Welcome back to Client Stories with Amy. So one of our longtime search angels, Amy, actually took this case, and within 5 minutes she could already see where this was going to go. So she was already prepared with the whole empathy type of response to give our client to let her know what was going on. And a little bit about this family, they were very tight-knit family, very close family. All of the cousins grew up together, basically as siblings. They all spent weekends together and summer vacations together, and they were really, really, really close. Our client was born in October of 1971, and she just always felt like her dad was not her dad. She questioned her mom, and her mom was just like, leave it alone. It is what it is. Your dad's your dad. Stop asking me these questions, to the point where she got downright hateful and nasty with our client for asking. So our client asked her sister to take a DNA test to see if her hunch was right, and it was. Her sister took the DNA test, and they showed up as half-sisters, not full sisters. You could clearly see the dad's line of DNA in her sister's DNA matches, and she didn't have that. So she came to DNA Angels, Amy took the case, and Amy was looking at everything, and she immediately seen a red flag. All of these DNA matches were pretty much one-sided. Everybody, pretty much, except for a couple of lower matches, were all going to the maternal grandfather line. So it was going to the client's mom's father's side of the family, and it was all one-sided. Usually when this happens, it's usually a red flag for either the birth father is not born in the United States, and all of these matches are all just half of her DNA. Usually you could still pick out some smaller matches towards the bottom of the line that are completely unique, that do not match anybody else. And that didn't happen. We were able to see a unique part of DNA, and there was also a very close DNA match. So when she was sitting there looking at the DNA matches, she was able to isolate one small line of DNA, and one of these matches matched both sides of this tree. So it was matching this unique line, and it was matching the paternal grandfather line for our client. So we started with that match, and we were going through everything and getting all together, and Amy was able to determine that the mom's first cousin is the birth father of our client. And this client was raised with this person as a close family member, spent time with his family, never knowing that that person was her biological father. This person married the birth mother's niece, the biological mother's niece. He married her in March of 1971, and our client was born in October of 1971. So he went from his first cousin to his first cousin's niece, and that's who he married and had a family with. One of his daughters did a DNA test, and it proved that theory was correct. She had a very large amount of DNA shared, but it fit within the genetic parameters for these multiple relationships to our client. It was significantly high. It was higher than her half-sister's DNA. So that's how we were able to prove what Amy had gathered with those puzzle pieces, and she did a good job. That was not an easy case to solve, because those DNA matches to that first cousin's maternal line was very, very small, but we had one match that kind of tied it all together, and then DNA tested his child, and it confirmed everything. So that is it for today. Don't forget to hit like and follow, and let me know in the comments what you guys are up to today. I'm headed to the next town over to go eat lunch with my hubby. He's not thrilled about driving, guys. Bye, everybody. All Ashley uncovered some family tea while talking to some DNA matches to find our client's biological father, and my goodness, stay tuned. You might need pen and paper to follow this one. Welcome back to Client Stories with Amy. This was somebody who was adopted looking for her biological parents, and Ashley took the case, and she had the paternal line spot on, perfect. Did not take her any time, but that grandmother line, man, that gave her a run for her money. She was trying to figure it out, and it just wasn't, it wasn't coming together. So she was sitting there with a really, really high match on one maternal grandparent line, and she had a couple of good matches on the other maternal grandparent line. The second one she thought was going to be the grandma line, just because of the way things were lining up, and that's where she got stuck. She couldn't get any further. She saw this grandmother had had several husbands and kids with each of these husbands, and it just wasn't lining up with the first line of DNA. So first line of DNA, really, really high match, can't get anywhere. Second line of DNA, have somebody that we suspect is grandmother, but none of those husbands are matching up to the first line of DNA. Following me there? Hope you're following me there. It's complicated. So we are stuck. Ashley's like, what would I do now? So she just paused, she sat and thought, she's like, okay. Told the client, I'm gonna have you reach out to who we think is your grandmother, reach out to one of her children. See if they can give you some information. While that was happening, she was also trying to reach out to that really top match. We found out later that top match had passed away, but her daughter decided to message back and say, hey, I have some information for you. And mind you, this really big match had a really extensive tree, but there's nothing lining up from the tree to the rest of the known DNA matches that we were able to prove a most recent common ancestor. So their tree was nowhere. We couldn't figure out how they fit in. And Ashley was like, this person must be an NPE, or they're adopted, or something. Something's not lining up. But that match had passed away, and her daughter messaged her client and said, hey, how can I help? And she gave all the tea. All of it for this, both of these families. And because of her, this case was actually able to be solved. So she goes and tells us that, yeah, my mom had passed away, but she was adopted, and I know who her birth parents are. Here's the names. And as soon as we got the names, Ashley was like, light bulbs are going off and things are starting to fit together. All those puzzle pieces are now trying to fit together to paint that picture of the biological family. So not only was that person adopted, our client was adopted, and there's at least four others that were adopted, and they had the names too of these people that were adopted out too, all in this close little family circle. Like, how insane is that? So between these two grandparents, the two maternal grandmother, grandfather, they had two known children. One of them was placed for adoption that we cannot find. And the other one, she is still living, and she actually was in the right area where the birth father was to conceive a child. So it's either an unknown adopted daughter that they had, or the one that is, that we know of. And of the at least six adoptions that we have been told about and were able to verify with family members, in the match list, the DNA, the rude child keeps calling in the middle of my videos. Anyways, we were supposed to do decades. So we were 1920s in the back, and the girls don't want to do that anymore. So they decided they want to do superheroes. So I have to go find a superhero costume. So let me know in the comments. Give me some ideas. Batman, Robin, Spider-Man, and Wonder Woman, they're all taken. So give me some ideas. I have daughters. I don't do superheroes. But let me know. I'll see you guys later. Bye. And don't forget to hit like and follow, guys. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Client Stories and Lunch with Amy. So my next case is one of Rachel's. She got this client in. She thought she was an NPE. She had some questions about her paternity her whole life. Her birth certificate father is what we're going to call him. He and her mom were split up when she was conceived. So that was why the family had some questions about her paternity. So the birth certificate father side of the family, they always treated her different than the other kids. They always treated her like she was a black sheep, like she didn't belong. So she did what any curious adult's going to do. They're going to sit there and say, okay, we're going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to find out who my dad is. If it's you or somebody else, I'm getting to the bottom of this. She did an ancestry DNA test, and as soon as she got the results, the same day, she noticed that she did not recognize any of the paternal matches. So she came to DNA Angel and said, I need help. We took her case in. Rachel went through everything, got her story, and started to look at the matches and noticed that she had really low St. Morgan matches. Really, really, really low. So she had a couple of second cousins, no trees, nothing really much to help, and a bunch of third and fourth cousins. Again, little trees, not much help. But the saving grace in this case was that it originated from Texas, which has really good birth indexes for people, even recent people in time. Like, my birth index is on there. So we were able to get all that information and start back building the tree and getting some lines connected. The surname that kept coming up was Williams, a super, super common surname, and that happens to be the surname of the birth certificate father. So Rachel, she didn't stop there, being a good, thorough genetic genealogist that she is. She kept on trucking, trying to match up some more surnames and family members and get the lines mixed together. And just for funsies, she asked the client for the birth certificate's father and the father's name and the grandparent names for that line, just to kind of get that into the tree to see if by chance it would connect to the DNA matches, which it did. Birth certificate father was the client's biological father. And I really hope that that paternal family felt like trash and felt awful and apologized to her for the way they treated her all these years, thinking that she wasn't their family when in fact she was. They treated her like trash for no reason. No reason at all, you guys. So just keep this as a lesson. Don't treat kids that you don't know who their daddies are any type of way, because again, they're children, they're innocent in all of this. And two, if you have some DNA matches and you're not sure where they belong or how they fit into your tree, most people don't know who their second, third, fourth cousins are. Always look at your maternal line surnames for each line. So like if you're looking at your great-great-grandma, look at that maternal line all the way up and learn those surnames for both sides of your tree. You might be able to make your connections and your DNA matches to your tree that way. But that's it for today, and I'll see you guys later. Bye.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Thank you for listening to Missing Pieces, NPE Live, produced and edited by me, Don Anderson. You know, this song that I played both times today, it's kind of a cool song, and I found it on this website called Pixabay, P-I-X-A-B-A-Y. And it's a place you can get free music that you can put in your podcast or wherever. And that was it's a really good song. I really actually love it. They did a good job on it. It's called Vision Needle Drop. You can get it for free at Pixabay. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram, send me an email, check out DNA Angels. If you need help finding birth parents, it's free. Check it out, and don't forget, you can donate to them. DNAangels.org, only one A. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on the next episode of Missing Pieces.